On Thursday's front page, the Supreme Court explored whether the health care law would be viable without the individual mandate. The justices also looked at the law's expansion of Medicaid. Businesses' bets on the GOP may be backfiring. The conservatives who dominate the House are not always aligned with the commercial interests that make campaign contributions. And in Hollywood, there seems to be nowhere to go but up. We'll find out why. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Supreme Court ended its three-day hearing on the Obama health care law. The argument centered on whether there'd be anything left if the justices threw out the individual mandate. Times reporter Adam Liptak says the justices seemed divided, but it was clear they had moved from legal theory to the real-world consequences of a decision. They also seemed to be split on whether the expansion of Medicaid called for under the law was constitutional. Also on Thursday's front page, Sunni Muslims who've fled Syria say the government crackdown is more pervasive and more sectarian than had been reported. They say civilians affiliated with Bashar al-Assad's minority religious sect are shooting at their neighbors. One former Syrian army veteran says the army now wants to displace people to get them away from protests. Refugees from just outside the city of Homs say western Syria is more under siege than had been thought. In this country, business groups helped Republicans win the House in 2010. Now government programs favored by businesses are in the crosshairs of capital conservatives. A number of routine business tax breaks can't be passed because House Republicans are insisting they be paid for with spending cuts. House conservatives are also fighting the Export-Import Bank. It's financed business exports since the Depression. March has been a fine example of what some people call weird weather. Last week, a heat wave had people going to the beach and farmers planting their crops early. This week, a cold snap has done damage to tree crops. That's only here in the U.S. In Scotland this week, they're setting records for heat. Researchers are working on theories to explain what's going on. Those theories may tie some of the ups and downs to global warming. Researchers are focusing on the decline of sea ice in the Arctic. Some scientists say that as the planet gets warmer, more energy and water vapor are entering the atmosphere and driving weather systems. In Hollywood, there's nowhere to go but up. Los Angeles officials are backing a zoning plan that will permit skyscrapers in the neighborhood around Hollywood and Vine. Residents worry the community will lose its rakish, small-town charm. They're also worried they'll lose their view of the Hollywood Hills, not to mention their view of the iconic Hollywood sign. Poet Adrienne Rich is dead. Times reporter Marguerite Fox says she had an unswerving, progressive vision and dazzling, empathetic ferocity. Ms. Rich brought the oppression of women and lesbians to the forefront and kept it there for nearly half a century. Adrienne Rich died of complications from rheumatoid arthritis. She was 82. Inside Thursday's Times, a crackdown in India. With Chinese President Hu Jintao arriving for a diplomatic summit meeting, the authorities moved to prevent Tibetans from staging anti-Chinese protests in New Delhi. The summit brings together five nations known as BRICS for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. In the 3 years since they formed their alliance, they've had trouble agreeing on how to exert their influence. Pope Benedict XVI wrapped up his visit to Cuba. Times reporter Rachel Donadio tells us his message was clear. Religious freedom can foster other freedoms.
Benedict called for more authentic freedom. Now, saying those words in the middle of Revolution Square is obviously seen as something of a critique of the Castro regime. Benedict wants the church to be able to operate more freely here, to open up schools, which it hasn't been able to do, to open up even media communications. Benedict has explicitly linked religious freedom with broader freedom. The day that Benedict arrived in Havana, a top-ranking Cuban official gave a press conference to foreign journalists here saying,
in Cuba, there will be no political reforms. In Cuba, we are talking about the actualization of the Cuban economic model, which will make our socialism sustainable.
So that really dominated Benedict's first day here. The Cubans have said, thanks for coming, but no.
Times reporter Rachel Donadio. Here in New York, a decision on what happens to Brooke Astor's estate. Her only son's inheritance was cut in half. Anthony Marshall will now get $14.5 million. The settlement frees up $100 million for charity, but Marshall won't get to choose which charities get the money. He was convicted 3 years ago of stealing from the famed New York socialite before her death in 2007 at the age of 105. In Thursday's Business Day, top MF Global executives and their lawyers have been meeting with federal authorities investigating the firm's collapse. That came out in testimony before a congressional panel. It's a sign the investigation is progressing. It had been held back because a key MF Global employee wouldn't cooperate without immunity from prosecution. That employee is Edith O'Brien. She continued her silence on Capitol Hill by taking the Fifth Amendment. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. Our word for the day is penultimate because this is the penultimate front page podcast.
A lot of people think that means last, but it actually means second to last.
That's Assistant Metro Editor M.A. Harris. She's our word expert for the day. The Times is discontinuing this program after Friday, which means we have one more episode left. Until then, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.